You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Alrighty, kia ora, you're tuned into Radio 1, and we are here with Phil Newman from the University of Otago Student Health Team. How you doing?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me along this afternoon.
No worries. So could you start off by giving us a little bit of an introduction about who you are and maybe what your role is at uni?
Yeah, sure. Kia ora. I'm Phil. So I'm originally from England. You might not be able to tell from the accent over the radio, but I've lived over in Dunedin for about 25 years now. Originally trained as a mental health nurse back in the UK, way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth almost, and spent a long time working in adult mental health both over there in Australia and then more recently in Otipoti, and a variety of services, inpatient mental health, EPS, the local crisis mental health team, community nursing. And then for the last 10 years, I've worked at student health. So my role there is as a mental health support clinician, which means that I am one of the people there that see students when they first come in to discuss any kind of issues they've got with their mental health and wellbeing, do a bit of an assessment, work out what's going on for them and come up with a plan for them about how they're going to manage it. And that might involve them going away and doing some stuff themselves. It might involve them seeing other members of the team, or it might be that we link them up with some other service in the university or outside of the university, depending on their needs.
And so for a student out there, how do they go and reach out to you guys? What's the way they can?
So the way most students connect with us is just by making an appointment through the main student health reception. So we're the mental health and wellbeing team at Student Health is part of the whole primary health practice that's available to students at the University of Otago. So any student that's enrolled at the university is automatically able to access the services at Student Health. So we operate in the same building as the GPs and the practice nurses and use the same admin team. So most students connect through making a an appointment at reception. Most of our appointments are the same day, so generally we encourage people to ring in the morning and they can usually get an appointment on that day to come in and talk to someone. And then they'll come in, have a bit of a chat to us. Like I say, the appointments are about 40 to 45 minutes, the initial ones, and we'll kind of talk through what's going on. We do accept referrals from some of the other services around the uni, so we've got really good relationships with people like the colleges, OUSA support, the proctor and the campus watch team, the chaplains, the international office, disabilities office. So the support services are pretty much like a big spider's web.
Yeah, of course.
A student might get caught somewhere in that web, but if it's not the right place for them, then we'll make sure that they get to the right place, or the other services will make sure they get to us if we're the right people.
Yeah, yeah, cool. And so you said you've been in this position or this space for 10 years as well. How have you seen student mental health issues change over the time? Like, I think we probably see a lot in popular media, and obviously in artistic and creative spaces, it's become more of the forefront of conversation and art and stuff like that. But has that been meant much change in services or approach to things like that?
Definitely a big change in services. So when I first started working at the university, the what was then called the counselling team looked very different. They provided less in terms of more acute services and more in terms of sort of longer term counselling for students. But after a while, it was recognised that that model wasn't suiting a lot of the students in the university, and a lot of students needed to be seen more urgently. So back then, we'd sometimes have wait times of maybe 2 or 3 months during the course of the academic year. So about a year after I started working at Student Health, there was a big review of the mental health team, and things were changed quite considerably so that we had a much more robust acute response to students in distress. And then another part of the role that we've developed over the years has been to kind of liaise with all those other support services around the university. Again, when I first started, the university was a much more siloed place. People kind of just worked in their own little spaces. So one of the things that we and staff from a lot of the other support services have tried to do is actually just make it a much more comprehensive team approach right across the campus. So like I said, it's like a big spider's web now. If you kind of get stuck somewhere, then you're going to get the support you need. And I guess the point you made about people talking a lot more about mental health. So, you know, one of the things that we've tried to do is get out and promote a lot more around how to look after yourself, how to support yourself, but also how to access the services that are available.
Yeah.
And I guess that's still one of the big challenges that we find, is that often people don't know who we are, what we do, where we are, how to get into us. So, although people talk a lot more about mental health issues, maybe they don't recognise what kind of supports are available in the uni to actually help them deal with those things.
Mm, of course, that's a really good point. And maybe while we're talking about changes over the years as well, you also came from the UK as well.
Yep.
I know, like, obviously they have the NHS over there, and that's like pretty... A lot of people have a lot of different opinions about that.
Yep.
is that something you worked with them before? And have you noticed any, like, I know that because of the time difference, it'd be hard to even compare them anyway, but have you noticed any big differences? And, like, obviously New Zealanders, we often talk about, like, some of our toxic masculinity or workplace culture, or, you know, New Zealand has its own mental health issues, which can be different from other countries. Have you noticed anything to do with the attitude, whether it's the systems or the issues that come up
I think... To be honest, the New Zealand and English and probably the Australian systems are all very similar. In that they all obviously are based on the English system. So when I first came over here, there was very little difference between what I left in England to what I came into working in secondary mental health services. I guess the big change for me has been coming to work with the student cohort, because that is a very significant change in, in kind of the problems that you're dealing with, the sort of issues that people are presenting with. And the culture, I guess, you know. So, for example, the University of Otago has got quite a significant drinking culture. That's not something I'd encountered in other areas. I mean, a lot of people with mental health issues have sort of substance use issues as well. But I guess the just the general day-to-day, you know, the drinking culture here is definitely something that I'd never really kind of come across before.
Absolutely. And it's funny because it's one of those things that obviously students seek out from Otago. Like, it's a place where they can leave... wherever they were from before and come and be their own new person, find themselves, live in a house, come up with a community around them, living in flats where they're super, super social and stuff like that. But there's some very obvious downsides to that too, which, you know, everyone wants to be really cautious about. And I can imagine that in a mental health practice, that's quite a hard thing to wrestle with, because a lot of people are getting the first kind of bits of freedom and excitement and enjoyment and community that they've found before. But at the same time, it can be tied to substances, but also just like difficult behavior, bad behavior and stuff.
So there's a lot of kind of different areas of life in the university that affect people's mental health. So, you know, drinking is one thing that might have an impact on people's mental health, but living in a crappy flat can have quite a significant impact. Flatmates not getting on great, you know, that can be a significant issue. Academic stresses and strains. And I guess the one thing that often people forget is that this is a massive transition in people's lives. You know, the actual transition to university, leaving home, all your usual support systems, your friends, your family, the people you've spent the last 18 years maybe with. You know, you're leaving that all behind. You're coming to live somewhere completely different. There's, if you're in a college, you're maybe having to meet hundreds of new people, get used to eating with hundreds of new people. You know, there's a lot of challenges. And then obviously thinking about flatting and getting out and paying bills. And so massive, massive changes in people's lives. And, and you know, for some people, it's really exciting. For other people, it can be very overwhelming.
And they don't necessarily know how inside those communities, they can point out how overwhelming it is too. I suppose it's one of the issues with such a powerful culture of student culture here. But then that can have the monotony of people not knowing that they are individuals who are like outside of those cultures and recognize their own needs and things like that.
And I guess one of the big things we struggle with is encouraging people to reach out for help as soon as possible. You know, we do support a lot of students who kind of try to tough it out or haven't really known what support services are around, and they've got past the point really where they can actually do anything about what it is they're dealing with. And, and sometimes, you know, it ends up with people having to withdraw and or take time out from their study, which is kind of what we want to avoid happening. But, you know, so we really encourage people to use the support services that are there as, you know, as soon as possible when they need them, rather than trying to wait and see if they can get through it themselves. You pay a lot of money to be here, so make the use of the services that are available.
So maybe on a sort of more easy note to do with people looking after themselves, I'm sure some people have heard some messaging before about ways to look after yourself, but what are some of the kind of basic or easy messages that you guys might pass on as a team to students to help them look after their own mental health?
Yeah, so there's always the basic building blocks of good mental health. So things like making sure you get a good night's sleep. So it doesn't have to be 8 hours. You know, not everyone needs 8 hours, but making sure you get enough sleep so that you're functioning okay in the day. Eating regularly is a really big one. If you're going to spend hours in the library, make sure you grab some food and, you know, regularly top up the energy levels. They're the obvious building blocks. But I guess one of, particularly at this time of year with the final exams coming up, one of the big things that I'll encourage students to do is remember to take time out of their study days. You know, it's very easy to get caught up with, I've got to work harder, I've got to work more, get ready for the exams. But actually, your brain does need downtime. It needs time out from that stress to rest and recuperate and recharge. So every day, students should be taking a bit of time out from their academic schedule to do something fun, do something they enjoy, do something that they're doing it because they want to do it, not because they have to do it. So I'd really encourage people to think about getting that into their day. And I guess the big argument we often hear about that is, I don't have the time for it, or I'm too tired, I haven't got enough energy. And if you're saying those things, if your kind of internal dialogue is, I don't have the time or the energy to do this, it probably means you really need to do that
thing. And if you made the time, you probably would actually be so much more efficient that you would actually have extra time.
All the research indicates that if you take a bit of time out from study and you do something for fun, when you come back to study, you're much more able to focus and remember things and work more effectively.
Cool. So maybe for one last question, it's been a real pleasure having you on. Really enjoyed the corridor. But I'm wondering about if you have any sort of thoughts or imaginations of what mental health is going to look like in the future, like moving forward. Is there is the university going to have to keep changing their approach? Is it becoming like a larger and larger issue as it kind of comes to the forefront?
I think we're definitely always looking at how we might need to change things up to respond to the needs of the student population. So like I say, there's been significant changes already over the last 10 years that I've worked at student health. I guess one of the big things we're going to be grappling with in the next few years is going to be AI, where that fits into the health scene. So we're already having discussions around that in student health at the moment, just more around how we can use it for our own benefit in writing notes, etc. But down the track, I guess we're going to be contending with people, students, accessing AI for health
as
information
as well,
and for therapy, and I've already come across that. You know, I talked to someone only, I think it was yesterday, today, even, who, when we were talking about something, they said, I checked with ChatGPT to see what they'd say about it. I thought, okay, and I was quite interested to see what ChatGPT had actually said to them, and it wasn't really very helpful, to be honest.
Of course,
But that's something that's becoming, I think, much more prevalent, is people using AI and online services, and we have to kind of look at how that fits in with us and we fit in with it.
Because it's absolutely not a net negative. Like, it's obviously being used in a lot of positive ways, but then the very negative sides of it are very important discussion points that are, like, it's pretty severe challenges to how humans think, and that includes mental health, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, I really, really appreciate being on here. Thanks, Phil.
That's okay.
Any last words for the people of Otipoti?
I guess the other thing that I would just do is to encourage people to access the supports that are available at Student Health. So, like I say, most of our appointments are the same day. If you really need to talk to someone, please phone in and make an appointment and come in and have a bit of a chat to us. It's always good to access that support sooner rather than later. You know, we like to nip things in the bud and try and help people to thrive as much as possible. So we encourage people to come in early, and it may seem like it's not a big deal at the time, but it might stop it from becoming a big deal down the track. We've got a really good link into other support services, so even if we're not the right people for you, we'll find the right people for you and make sure you get connected to them. And even, I don't know if this goes out to students that aren't on campus, so obviously student health is mainly for the students that are here in Otipoti studying, but we're aware that there are students on other campuses and they may be struggling, and if they are, then please have a look at our website page that's got some information about Pua Waitanga, which is the telehealth service that we actually provide for out-of-town students. So students can still access some support even though it's not directly from student health.
Cool. Awesome. That all sounds really, really great, and hopefully some people can take home some information and some new insight, and also help encourage some more kōrero conversation amongst your friends and communities about what sort of services are available. And yeah, really, really appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Something else I forgot to mention, that first session, if you come over to chat to one of us, doesn't cost you anything.
Awesome.
So we're trying to make this as accessible as possible for people. Course.
That's really cool.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.